Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program this week four of the most popular and entertaining exponents of this game, who once again are going to display their verbal wit and intellectual dexterity as they try to speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are, sitting on my right, Paul Merton and Kit Hesketh Harvey, and sitting on my left, Lisa Tarbuck and Charles Collingwood. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Susie Best, and she's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the City Varieties, which is a wonderful period music hall in great condition in the center of that. And we have an audience in great condition as well, who come from the lovely city of Leeds in the centre of that great God's own county of Yorkshire. Hooray! And to start the show this week, we're going to ask Charles Collingwood. So, Charles, the subject in front of me is four-poster beds. Will you talk on that subject for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
I love lying in a four-poster bed with almost anyone I can find, quite frankly. But mostly my wife, Judy Bennett, who, of course, you know as plays Shula Archer. I like to take her away to a hotel which costs a fortune and provide her with the most beautiful four-poster bed. When we wake up in the morning, room service is brought to our room. Room service and room?
No, it's... Yes.
Can you spot the connecting word?
And that was repetition. So, Paul, you were the first to challenge. You have a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of four-poster beds. 38 seconds starting now.
There is something incredibly romantic about a four-poster bed. I suppose it's the curtains or the drapes that you can pull across and create a tiny little island where all the outside world disappears and you have this wonderful love nest. When I share a four-poster bed with Charles Collingwood, we often have room for...
Charles Collingwood challenge.
Well, he wasn't very good. I didn't want him to bring this up. And it is deviation here in Leeds for him to bring this up.
Charles, you can say anything you like in this show, provided it's not libelous. And I don't think that is. Yours was a delightful interruption. So
and
we
it's
give
a
you
deviation.
A bonus point for that. No, but it wasn't deviation within the rules of Just a Minute.
Sorry.
So, Paul, you get a point for being interrupted. You keep the subject of four-poster beds, 21 seconds starting now.
You often see them in films about Henry VIII, I suppose. Being king, he had the biggest four-poster bed in the land, made out of mighty oaks, carved from that good English wood into a form that he could sleep his majestic frame and command all the citizens of the country, bring me another wife, I have the four-poster bed.
In this game, whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion was Paul Merton. Will you take the next round? Kit Hesketh Harvey, A Call of Nature. Now, this could be difficult, couldn't it? I hope that you'll keep within the bounds of respectability as you talk on that subject, starting now.
Lying in my four-poster bed, quite frequently I have to answer a call of nature, as did the narrator of Wuthering Heights, that majestic Yorkshire novel, when he woke up and saw this woman outside going, Heathcliff, it's me, Cathy, and I'm coming home. She was as immemorial as the rocks from which she sprang. Another call of nature is...
Well, it's repetition of...
No, that's wrong. No, you have to understand that chimp is an inflected language,
repetition.
And is quite different from because it means something quite other in chimp.
There was a definite repetition of
Yeah. There was. You heard it, didn't you?
I did it, yes.
In fact,
it went
you
on.
Up, didn't it?
Oh, shut up, Paul. Unfair. Right. I'm so fair. He's got a correct challenge. He has 39 seconds. A call of nature starting now.
The owl, a beautiful bird, a nocturnal creature, will often call to its mate across the countryside, to wit and more. It will emanate from its beautiful beak, its golden throat. The lattice.
Charles Collingwood, you challenge first.
He did hesitate.
Yes, he did
he
hesitate.
Broke into laughter.
You have a point for that, of course, and you have the subject of A Call of Nature, 30 seconds starting now.
I have to tell you that it's quite personal, this, because sitting here, I could do with just popping out the back for about 3 minutes, because I feel the call of nature here. But because I'm an old pro, I will soldier on and hold whatever it is I'd like to give forth inside me until the end of this great show, which point I will depart and relieve myself of an enormous quantity.
Paul Challenge.
Doesn't this come under the category of more information than we need?
Show is.
No, not more information than we need, more information. But so what is your challenge when the rules are just a minute?
I don't know if I've got one, but no. I felt the flow had to stop.
And I think you stopped it, and so we give you a bonus point because the audience enjoyed your interruption. But Charles was interrupted. What a pity. Try and get off the flow at the moment if you can, Charles, with 5 seconds on A Call of Nature starting now.
Sometimes I sit in my garden with the windows open, and I look at...
Lisa, you challenged.
I did challenge because there was a slight hesitation.
There was a hesitation, my darling. Right. Very clever. You've got him with 1 second to go on A Call of Nature starting now.
Dogs barking.
Where had Charles challenged you?
I heard the...
I know.
Like she heard of mine.
That's right. No, it was
no,
not...
hesitation.
Of course not. You... You ungallant player.
I will never
player.
Think of Brian in the same way, you know.
Very few women ever do.
Another point to you, Lisa, and 1/2 a second on A Call of Nature starting now.
My dog, Welsh Wilf.
So, Lisa Tarbuck, speaking as the whistle went and the others in the round, she is now equal with Charles Collingwood and Paul Merton just ahead, and Kit Hesketh Harvey is trailing a little. So, Paul, it's actually your turn to begin. Right. Paul, the subject is growing a moustache. You have grown one on occasions, I believe, but tell us something about the subject in this game starting now.
Well, it takes a great deal of talent, and you have to put the hours in. It's no good just waking up one morning thinking I will grow a moustache by tomorrow. It just won't happen. You have to nurture your upper lip with a mixture of compost, potato peelings and floor polish. Plus, if you can get hold of it from some of the Chinese shops specialising in the golden throat of an owl, which you rip from a bird and rub across the top part of your face just underneath your nose, and before you know where you are, hairs begin to sprout left, right and centre, making up the moustache. There have been many different types of moustaches over the years. Look at Adolf Hitler. He stole his from Charlie Chaplin. And he didn't do him any harm, did it? I'm sorry.
You dried yourself up, didn't you? Such bizarre deviation. It's absolutely wonderful.
Just the idea of praising Hitler seemed to be a bit odd.
And Kit's buzzer came on first. Kit, there are 20 seconds on growing a moustache starting now.
Florence Nightingale's sister had a lavish cavalry job, which when a local portrait painter was going to render her in oils, the whole county was agog to see what he would make of it. Strategically, he placed her under a cedar tree so that the shadow thereof passed across her upper lip and made her look slightly less like Lord Kitchener, which otherwise she would have done. But it was considered rather attractive.
Yes, so with some more bizarre thoughts there, but this time from Kit. Kit was speaking, just went, he's moved on. In fact, Charles Collingwood, Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Lisa Tarbuck are all equal in second place behind Paul Merton. And Charles, your turn to begin. The subject, how apt for the time of year in which we are recording this, but also for this particular theatre, the City Varieties, pantomime. Yes. And Charles, you start 60 seconds starting now.
Having a wonderful time. There's no concealing that you're feeling sublime. The world's our oyster and we haven't a care. There must be champagne in the air. 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's throw a party today. Forget your head and let your heart have its way. For Jack's a dull boy with all work and no play. So just relax and we'll feel fine. Enjoying a marvellous evening. Now I think that's really tacky.
So, Kit, you challenge.
Deviation from the home key, but it seems so childish. I'm sorry.
As you have perfect pitch, I know you're right. So, but what I will do is, Charles, because it was a one-off, having a whole ditty
please,
like that...
Please, God, it was a one-off.
You will get... You will have a bonus point for your little ditty, which they all
love. Well, I'm looking for work, Nicholas, quite frankly. And I think on the strength of that, I shan't be getting any. Never mind.
So, Kit, a correct challenge. 37 seconds on pantomime starting now.
I notice here in the City Variety's Leeds they're giving Robin Hood and the Babes in the Wood a double whammy, which gives rise to all sorts of possibilities. You get Mother Goose Gets Aladdin, or the Sleeping Beanstalk, possibly even Puss in Dick, but maybe that is too strong for these lovely people. I hate pantomime. I'm with a little boy who said every year at Christmas time I'm taken to the pantomime. I think it's childish, but we go because Papa enjoys it so. It is the most grisly torture ever effected.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Well, a very clever interruption from Paul, so we give him a bonus point for that interruption because the audience enjoyed it so much. But, Kit, you had a correct challenge. You got... You interrupted, so you kill keep the subject. 5 seconds on pantomime starting now.
I met my divine wife in pantomime at Brighton, the only time I've made an excursion into that ghastly art form in the only time...
Yes, we do have the impression, Kit, that you don't enjoy pantomime. But how could you have met your wife there if you never go to pantomime?
No, I was in it. That was very different. I wasn't
And you
very
hate
good.
It and you've
Oh,
been
I was
in
dreadful.
It.
She was marvellous. I was dreadful.
You don't mind yes. taking your crock of gold and...
Going to the end of the rainbow right. 20 long years ago in Brighton.
Lisa, your turn to begin. The subject is cooking a goose. Tell us something about cooking a goose starting now.
I like to cook a fresh goose. That way you can leave the head on so that you've got something to gird under your arms as you're plucking the feathers from the said bird's body. It's also good because you can cut the head off the goose later and send it.
Charles Challenge.
Two heads.
Two heads.
Did I?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd love to know where it's going to be sent, though. Where...
You'll have to let me win it back, then.
Right, no. A two-headed goose. Charles, you got in first. 48 seconds. Cooking a goose starting now.
I get hold of this large goose, which has already been plucked. And I put cream all over the top.
Ooh.
And bacon. And butter. And I stuff its tummy full of onions. And then, with the oven preheated, I put this enormous bird into my vast double-sow cooker. And there it stays for hours and a long time longer. And it becomes the crispiest, crunchiest, moistiest goose you've ever tasted.
Kids,
well, I'm sorry, moistiest.
Yeah.
No, I will give him the benefit of the doubt on this one. So, Charles, you have the benefit of the doubt. You keep the subject, cooking a goose, and 14 seconds starting now.
14 seconds left before I open the door and remove this gorgeous, moist bird.
Lisa Challenge.
He said big bird before.
She had a bird, yes.
Again.
You mentioned the bird before.
Two birds are...
You were better than one.
Yeah. It's a goose sandwich.
You were putting your bird in the oven or pulling it out of the oven. I've forgotten which. And it's, cooking a goose, 6 seconds are available starting now.
You're going to need a very heavy bottomed tin to get this bird in the oven.
Right, so Lisa was then speaking as the whistle went, and she's moved forward, and she's equal to Kit Hesketh Harvey, third place, just behind Charles Collingwood, and our leader is still Paul Merton, who also begins the next round. Paul, the subject now is spoons. Tell us something about spoons in just a minute, starting now.
Playing the spoons was an old Victorian trick that people used to get up to when they couldn't afford pianos or other musical instruments. They would get hold of the cutlery drawer, grab the spoons, and Grandad would start knocking out favourite rhythms of the day, the relief of Mafeking, and all kinds of things like that. Had their own tunes, and people used to gather around the old spoon and say, "Go on then, Grandfather, play it as you've never before." And he did! What a magnificent tune he would get out of these pieces of cutlery.
Charles Challenge.
Repetition of tune.
Yeah, and cutlery.
And
right,
cutlery.
Well done.
I can't go the whole list, can I?
Spoons is with you, Charles. 24 seconds, starting now.
When you prepared the goose and it's on the table, you lay the places for your guests. Knives on the outside, working inwards to the spoon with its fork alongside. Or if you like...
Kit has his
own. I'd never fork alongside the spoon.
No, no,
no. So sorry. Charles, I'm not coming to you for Christmas.
Sorry, I didn't
Maybe
hesitate
in your
or
house.
Deviate, did I?
You deviated from you English
know,
manners,
no,
and this is Radio 4.
We can have our spoons where we like in our house, Kit.
Clearly you have.
Yeah, but you did establish that this... You did establish this was a conventional way. You didn't say, in our house, we have the spoons beside the forks.
He's being so hard on me now. No, but are you going to let him have that?
Yes, right? I've been kind to you and generous to you on
the
last one.
Don't you point at me.
So I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to Kit on this one. So, Kit, you have spoons, and you have 7 seconds starting now.
The roseate spoonbill, a beautiful bird, or ajaya ajaja.
Lisa Charles.
Deviation, surely.
Yes.
No, it is the Latin name for spoonbill. Ajaya ajaja.
3 seconds on spoons starting now.
My cutlery drawer is an amazing array of different sized spoons.
And so... At the end of that round, Lisa was speaking as the whistle went. She has moved forward with alacrity, and she's now beside Kit Hesketh-Harvey in third place, but only 1 point behind Charles Collingwood, and they're 2 or 3 points behind our leader, Paul Merton. And, Kit, it's also your turn to begin again. And the subject now is a dark horse. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
My favourite dark horse was Copenhagen, the sturdy mount ridden by Arthur Wellesley, Duke of Wellington at Waterloo, named after the Danish capital, which was lucky. If it had been another town, he could have been called Nakazov or even Ars, both of which are charming places in that fair country. But no, he returned to England to a hero's welcome, was cast in bronze and painted in oils.
Paul Challenge.
That's not a hero's welcome if you're cast in bronze. I mean, what would they have done to him if they didn't like him?
So what's your challenge with the...
Deviation, that's not a hero's welcome, being cast in bronze.
It is, actually. I mean,
Nicholas has been cast in bronze many times.
Nicholas?
You can buy him in Anne Summers. Yeah.
I've actually had a request quite recently to have a bronze made of my head.
Really?
Yes.
And are you wearing it tonight?
So, Kit, I disagree with the challenge. You still have a dark horse starting now.
He was pensioned off and lived to the ripe old age of 27 at Stratfield Say. A dark horse can also mean somebody who comes from behind, not in a Nicholas Parsons sense, but who...
Hesitation of the worst sort. You blanched. I mean, quite rightly, your reaction was abort.
He paled beneath his bronze, didn't he?
And Kit could no longer continue to talk.
And tell us, Sammy, now about a dark horse in 27 seconds, starting now.
When I go horse racing, I love to see those dark horses. I walk round the paddock feeling I'm going to put my shirt on that dark horse, as I just know that when he gets to the last 200 furlongs, it's going to be mine.
200 furlongs?
I don't think any race
runs... It's a dead horse.
How little you know about this dark horse, I'm telling you. Stamina, eh?
No, even that fellow who took the message
Keep going.
Ghent to I.
And created the Olympic Games, you know, the marathon.
Yes.
The one who ran from marathon to bring the news.
Not 200 furlongs.
And it wasn't 200 furlongs, I can assure
Nor
you.
Nor was right. he a horse, actually.
Paul, a correct challenge. 14 seconds, a dark horse starting now.
A dark horse has been suggested before is somebody who maybe is a rank outsider or you're not sure about who suddenly comes through.
Charles, challenge.
Two suddenlies,
I'm afraid. So, Charles, you're listening well and you've got the subject back. And you've 6 seconds on a dark horse starting now.
I do feel that when you're introduced to someone who is told to be a dark horse, you should be slightly careful because there may be...
So Charles Collingwood speaking as a whistle went, gained an extra point. He's moving forward. He's now in second place, two behind Paul Merton, and only one ahead of Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Lisa Tarbuck. And Lisa, your turn to begin. The subject now is the classifieds. Can you tell us something about that unusual subject in this game, starting now?
Turn to the back pages of any newspaper anywhere and you will find the classifieds. If you're after a handyman, if you want an extra wide-fitting shoe, you want to share a flat in Kingston...
Charles Challenge.
Two wants.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
I'm rubbish at this, so, aren't
you're
I?
Not. No, you're divine.
That was my sympathy line.
Eh?
Yeah, it's still a sympathy line. It has a lovely incantation.
Right.
Charles, 49 seconds. Tell us something about the classified, starting now.
When I look at the back of a newspaper and I see that list of advertisements for jobs that I could so easily do, but I choose to be an actor instead, I think, where might I have...
Who's challenged? Lisa, challenged.
I just fancied it.
What now?
Deviation.
Oh, sorry. What?
I don't know. That was rubbish.
Bitterness, I think.
He said, see, all the jobs he thought he could do. Mm. I don't think he could do all the jobs that are in the classifieds.
No.
No.
I look at the list and see all the jobs I could do.
No, I give the benefit of the doubt to Lisa on that one. Classifieds, back with you, Lisa, starting now.
Do you want a big sack of narcissi? Well, look in the classifieds. You're sure to find them. Hanging baskets, perhaps to let signs over houses that you require from Sutton to...
Paul challenged.
Hesitation.
That was a hesitation. Yeah. Tell us something about the classifieds, Paul, and you have 28 seconds starting now.
Well, it's an extraordinary world that is unveiled in the classifieds. You look at fridge freezer, only used once. And you wonder to yourself what domestic argument has occurred over this particular piece of machinery, that it should only be operated on the own...
Charles Callant.
There were two onlys.
Yes.
In the middle of the second one. There might be cut only.
Listen, you didn't like the way I spoke earlier.
Well, he's coming in, darling, now. You obviously weren't that double bed with him. Right, the 11 seconds, Charles, the classifieds, starting now.
Classifieds have to be looked with great care, as you scorn...
Paul Challenge.
Deviation. Classifieds have to be looked with great care. That's just nonsense.
There might have been an ad coming up.
Yes. Mm. When he hasn't got a script in his hand, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's just nonsense.
Do you mind if I just have one of my tablets?
I'm just going to show, Charles, how fair I am in this situation, because I think colloquially people have been known to say, you look with great care, and so I don't think it was sufficient deviation.
Yes, but if he had said those words, I wouldn't have challenged.
Said, do you know, if you'd refereed England-Australia in the World Cup, we'd have stuffed Australia. He's so kind, isn't he?
Yes.
Oh, I'm ready with you.
Well, you were getting so temperamental a moment ago. Yes, he's changed the tune. Right. Giving you the benefit of the doubt, Charles. 7 seconds, the classified, starting now.
When I look...
And keep the challenge.
Hesitation.
Yeah, hesitation. He gets tense if you don't like the decision. You're generous to him when he gets one, yeah. And then he just dries up. Oh, dear, these archers. Right.
Nothing about, can you?
Kit, you've got 5 seconds. Ooh. On the classified, starting now.
Elderly incontinent gentleman seeks aardvark for erotic adventure. Apply Nicholas Parsons.
What I have to put up with in this game, but it's all grist to the mill, isn't it? Right, what's the situation? Because we're going to move into the last round, I'm afraid. Oh, yes, but we've enjoyed as much as you, so that's great. Oh, very interesting. Charles Collingwood, with a little bit of panache, has moved forward. He's equal in the lead with Paul Merton, but only 2 points behind is Kit Hesketh-Harvey. And only 3 points behind is Lisa Tarbuck. It's anybody's contest if you're interested in the points. You're more interested in the humour, aren't you?
Yes.
Good, that's what we like. A grand finale. Sorry, that is a subject, actually. I don't even realise. So, Paul, it's actually your turn to begin. And the subject is a grand finale. 60 seconds, starting now.
As we sit here in this magnificent musical built in the 19th century, we can think back to the wonderful shows that finished here on grand finale. Who can forget the dear old Queen, Danny LaRue, as he used to wander out and beguile the audience with his marvellous jokes and repartee and songs and witty costumes. It was magnificent. And then the acrobats would come out for the grand finale and they would toss each other across the stage, and it was a magnificent sight.
Kit's a challenge.
Too magnificent in the nick of time, I think.
There was.
Was there?
Yeah. Yes, there was another. Sorry. Magnificent earlier on, Sir Paul. So, Kit, a correct challenge. You have a grand finale. You have 32 seconds starting now.
My favourite grand finale is the final movement of Sibelius's majestic symphony.
Challenge.
Well, he's completely cracked up.
I know.
It's very funny if you listen to it carefully.
Oh, can he have a go then?
Right. You're the only person in the show who cracks himself up.
I'm sorry.
It's amazing.
Nobody else laughs.
You've got him. You've got him with 27 seconds on a grand finale, starting now.
With 27 seconds left, I feel a grand finale building up in this beautiful theatre. The audience are on tenterhooks as they're waiting for that whistle to be blown and for Charles Collingwood, they hope, to score a final extra point. But will it happen? We don't know.
Poor Charles.
I don't think it will happen. I just can't see it happening that way.
Right. Well, within the rules of just a minute, you get a bonus point for that remark, as the audience
that
loved
could snatch
it.
Victory from but, the jaws of
defeat. On the other hand, he wasn't deviating within the rules of just a minute. So, 10 seconds still with you on a grand finale, Charles, starting now.
The atmosphere now in this theatre, you could...
Kit Charles.
Repetition of atmosphere.
Well, you see, he ruined it for me. He ruined it. I could... You don't know how temperamental I can get, Mr. Merton. Just because you hear me being a butch farmer on the radio, I can scream, you know.
It was Kit Hesketh Harvey.
I don't care. Either of those two gentlemen over there, I'm sick of this game now. Come on, darling. Let's go home, Miss Tarbuck.
Don't suddenly be nice to me.
When you think what I've been through this last few weeks.
You sound as if you've changed your sexual proclivities all of a sudden.
Sorry, darling. I'm so sorry.
Kit, you had a correct challenge. Mm-hmm. You have 8 seconds on a grand finale starting now.
Just think of it, Charles Collingwood on his dark horse, his lush moustache streaming in the breeze, clutching his goose.
Paul Challenge.
Deviation, he does not have a lush moustache.
I was just thinking of it. I just said, just think of it. I wasn't applying to literal fact.
Yes, this is true. You were saying, just think of it, weren't you? Right, so what do I do?
Give it to me, love.
No, I...
This deviation, he has no moustache.
He has no moustache.
I was just thinking of it. I was thinking of it. I'd like to picture him with a moustache.
No, he hasn't got a lush moustache. Right, a benefit of the doubt to you, Paul, on this occasion. 3 seconds, a grand finale starting now.
And so the balls are in the air as the jugglers strike!
Well, that last flourish of Paul Merton's really did give us a grand finale to this particular edition of Just a Minute. And they're all so close for the points. But if you're interested, I will tell you. Lisa Tarbuck only just finished in fourth place, but she was only 2 points behind Kit Hesketh Harvey. He was only 1 point behind Charles Collingwood. And he was only 2 points behind Paul Merton. But we do, because he has the most points, say, Paul, you're the winner this week. So, what does it remain for me to say? Just thank you to these four intrepid players of the game. Paul Merton, Lisa Tarbuck, Kit Hesketh Harvey and Charles Collingwood. I also thank Susie Best, who's helped me keep the score and blown her whistle so delicately every time. I also thank our producer, director, that is Chris Neal. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we are deeply indebted to this lovely Yorkshire audience who've come to the City Varieties in Leeds to cheer us on our way. We hope you've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed playing to you. From me, Nicholas Parsons, from our team, tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yeah!